revolution.
Hey, it's a Friday, a few minutes past nine. Thank you so much for having us on. My name is Sia Sangwenifan, and this is Untapped Talent right here on cliffcentral.com. You cannot get it twisted. You can already feel it in the air. It's a Friday. Everyone is slightly chilled. And of course, hashtag Cliff Central turns one tonight. So what else could go wrong? Nothing. This day is inevitably great. Can you stumble over that word again? Inevitably. There we go. We got it right. So thank you so much for having us on. This is quite a cracker of a show, and I'm very excited to get into conversating. No, that's not a word. Conversing with these guys. There we go. I think the Friday has just got me too much. I'll be talking to a band that goes by the name of The Citywide later on in their show. They're this four-piece rock band based in Pretoria, and they started just last year, really. It's been a year and a bit because they started in January last year. And so they'll be joining me later on in the show just to chat about their career thus far and how they found it and what's so exciting about them. And then, first and foremost, though, these guys are very, very interesting, because I was even reading their names and I was like, no, they go by the name of Fatoons, which is not the case. It's Patoons. They're animators. They come from Patoon Studios, which is a content creation hub that provides multimedia services such as animation, graphic designs, music productions. Basically, you name it, they do it. The studio is well known for its web series titled Chronicles of Hip Hop, which I definitely have to ask them about because I was watching it on YouTube. And there was a lot that I could go on for. But, you know, that series has really received a lot of great success with diffusion on platforms, you know, getting TV coverage and on magazines, etc., and also winning a few naughty badges as well. So that's very, very exciting. And that is Untapped Talent this week. So if you do want to get in contact with us, you can always tweet us at cliffcentral.com or at @C_SF, or you can send us a message right on Cliff Central, our official account on WeChat. So you just tap connect and then message to show. So are you ready? Let's get this started. We're going to get the conversation going. This is
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
All right. So first and foremost, my guests are in studio. They are Sianda Sibisi.
Where? Yeah, stuff.
He's so chilled and so ready for the day. He's like, yeah, just come at me, bro. And Shimani Applegreen.
Yes.
Okay, so Sianda, I'll address you formally. You are an animator and you call yourself the 3D asset scan.
Yeah.
Nah?
Yeah.
But then when I come across a name such as Shimani Applegreen, I have to ask, like, what must have happened there? You're an executive producer, but like, is that your government name? Like, if I go to Home Affairs.
Yes.
I will find...
I'm Tswana, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Shimani Mokietsi Applegreen.
What does Shimani mean?
Like a boy, Musimani.
Oh, like a young boy. Okay,
yes,
got it.
Like a young boy.
Okay, so it sounds kind of exotic because I thought it was all creative and made up. You are in the creative field after all. So that's quite cool. Listen, let's talk about your individual parts before we talk about Patoon Studio. Let me start off with you, Sianda. Where do you come from? What's your backstory?
Well, Mina, I'm from Soweto, Protea North.
Mm-hmm.
And basically lived there my whole life. Studied. Varsity at City Varsity. That's where I went to varsity at, and I did animation there. Basically, animation is something I loved from an early age, you know.
Yeah.
As a kid, I'd always like draw young doodles, young comics and stuff, and yeah, they'd always see them in the house. My aunt would actually read them and like follow my stories.
Yeah.
Type thing. Like she'd sit and like, oh, is this the main character? Is this the hero? What? And then, you know, it kind of boosted me to like keep doing it. And then, by the time I was in matric. Career choices time, and I was like, no, I want to do animation, you know. So yeah, my parents were down. They were like, yeah,
were you just always like a natural creative artist guy? Like, you were the guy even when you were 7, 8, 9 with Dragon Ball Z and Pokemon.
Yeah, like I'd read draw the characters and stuff, you know, Pokemon characters.
Yeah.
I had like coloring books that my mom would buy for me.
Yeah.
Then like I stopped coloring and started drawing instead, you know.
So basically, I would have hated you in school, because I remember those guys in school who would redo like a Pikachu, and then they give it to the teacher just to be cool. Okay, that's very, very cool. And your family supported you 100% when you chose an unconventional path, such as animation?
Yeah, they were down, because it's like, it's something I've been doing, you know, like I do it in the house just for fun, you know, like just comic strips for fun. So when I said I wanted to do it, they were like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it particularly about animation? Because, you know, it's one thing to almost spend your Saturday mornings as a kid watching cartoons, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Or like then when you get old, you get into The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And, you know, South Park.
Yeah. Boondocks and stuff.
But animation per se, what was it about that really got your interest going?
I just liked it, I guess. And back in the day, it was before like we had DSTV, which gives us like 24-hour cartoons. So like cartoons would come to an end at a certain time, you know. They'd always end, and then, you know, I'd just redraw from imagination what I saw during the day or in the morning.
Mm.
And then it just became a thing, you know.
But aren't you glad you didn't grow up in this time where you do have, you know, images, cartoons, 24/7, where almost everything is given to you?
Yeah.
Whereas back then, you had mind and
you
freedom
had to imagine,
exactly,
you were
and imagination.
To, yeah.
Do you feel like creatives or young kids these days are slightly altered with their mindset versus back then?
Yeah, I would say so, I guess.
Yeah.
But honestly, it depends on a person, you know.
Uh-huh.
It depends on a person. You can always see something on TV and then use that to inspire yourself to imagine something greater, you know.
Yeah.
Like, use it as reference.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win, you know.
And then where do you start with such? When you walk into your very first animation course straight after school?
Yeah.
Like, do they go, this is a pencil, this is a piece of paper, now get going?
The first lesson, well, basically it's just drawing. That's what we did when we started. It was just draw and then meet other people. It was actually a chill vibe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We met other students there. I met Brian. He's also part of Partoons,
mm-hmm.
as well as KK and Taps, part of Partoons as well.
Yeah.
Taps, though, did multimedia, and then KK was also in animation. So we were all like in
the
same.
It was a nice click. Go ahead.
Yeah. We just met and then, competed, drawing styles. This guy draws better than me. I got to up my game now. You know, KK is so dope with concepts. Damn. You know, so it was like that.
Well, talking about a nice, appropriate click, Shimane also here, the executive producer at Patoon Studio. Shimane, what's your backstory? Where did you grow up?
Yo, man. My story is, it's another one, man. Okay, originally I'm from Mafetown, Mafeking.
Uh-huh.
So, came here to work around 2006, you know, because there was no school for music there and whatever.
Oh, were you into music?
I was into music. You
wow.
know? But I was a creative when I was growing up. I also did drawing and whatever.
Yeah.
So, but now, my passion really lied in music.
Okay.
You know, so I came here, I went to study, you know, and then, you know, somehow it was a struggle.
Were you studying music?
I was
initially
studying music, yes.
Okay.
You know.
What sort of music? What's
Producing, like, you know, quite a hip-hop.
Like your Timberland.
Type of thing. You know, your Tweezy. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what happened was I got a job at SABC
mm-hmm.
And as a sound operator, you know, working at the desk, doing live shows and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I happened to go work at Movango.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So I met up with a guy called Raphael.
Okay.
He's the Tandasa son in Movango.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we became friends. And then he knew what I was doing, because I was doing basically a lot of things, you know. So he came to me because I was doing visual effects for Movango, you know, when people...
Hold up. There's a gap here somewhere. There's a bridge we need to go over. So there Shimane grows up. He realizes he's a creative.
Yeah. That
and he liked expressing himself.
Yes, that I could basically, if I put my mind on something,
yeah,
I could achieve it.
So what was it about that you just loved being able to, having a voice? Loved having a voice, yeah.
I grew up as a quiet person. So I would express myself in the things that I would make.
Yes. You're not one to say a lot of words.
No. And a lot of people around me know that, you know.
Like, yeah.
I would be there by the corner, you know, Googling how you make a website.
Yeah.
How you make people disappear on TV, you know, mm-hmm. green screens, those sort of stuff. So
you're very inquisitive.
Yeah.
But I think that's a very good thing and an important trait in someone who is in a creative field and a space. Yeah. You need to be able to observe. You need to be able to see things not just at face value.
And question everything that you see, you know.
Your teachers must have loved you then. You were always the one who was trying to interfere, who was trying to counter what they were saying.
You know, yeah. And I would see faults in sometimes in what they're saying.
Like what? Like, how can you see a fault in, like, Theorem of Pythagoras?
Okay, not that deep.
Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, man. So, I met up with this guy. We became friends. So, he came to me one day. And then he showed me a drawing that Stembiso did for him.
Okay.
For the website that I was
Stembiso is one of the team members at Patoon.
Yeah, Brian Bringo.
Okay. He's the main illustrator.
He's the main illustrator. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I asked him, okay, who did this for you? He said, a boy of mine. Okay. And then I said to him, okay, can I meet him?
Mm-hmm.
So I even forgot about it. The next week, he calls me up. I was still doing the boom at Movango, some scene. And then lunchtime, he comes.
Yeah.
He calls me. Here's Bringo. Oh, so I talked to Bringo. So, and then Bringo was like, okay, I'll come tonight. Okay, when we got there, Bringo comes with two other friends.
Yeah.
Guess who he wraps up with? Sia and KK.
Okay, so this is how the Patoon studio crew is slowly forming. Uh-huh.
Within a month, we were eight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Sianda, what was your 9-to-5 back then? Were you still studying?
No, I was actually freelancing.
Okay.
Freelancing and then, linking up with with Brian,
mm-hmm.
and then we just like doodle. We'd make comics,
okay,
cartoons, comics. It was it wasn't moving animation. It was just like stills, and they were like funny. We put them on Facebook and Twitter.
So you guys really came together just out of like the love of animation. Did you like sit down and go, listen, let's have a plan. We're going to call ourselves Patoons. This is what we want to do. Or was it really just the love?
You know.
Okay. With Patoons, how Patoons started, basically it was Brian's thing, like just sketches, funny sketches, and then he made one, which was like for Valentine's Day.
What were the sketches from? Or were they like satire, looking at what's happening?
Yeah, looking at basically everyday life, okay. Like basic life, people's lives and stuff.
Yeah.
So the comic consisted of a guy, right, and his girlfriend. And then mm-hmm. he's like, guess what I got you for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
And the girlfriend's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. What is it, you know? Like, closes her eyes, and then he's like, okay, you can open them.
Yeah.
And then it was the pa, you know the pa thing, the hand thing.
Basically in your face.
Yeah, in your face, pa. And then that's about it. And then the chick got angry.
And that's how the idea of Patoon started.
Yeah. Okay. So it became more and more doodles after that.
And when about was this? What year?
I'd say probably late 2012, 2013.
And then late 2012, late 2013, what was your vision back then? What were we going to do?
I wasn't there then.
Oh, you? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Shimano, you weren't there.
Wasn't there.
You were still somewhere in the SAPC holding equipment for sound.
You know.
You're like, I'm just rolling with the paces here.
You know.
Okay.
And then it happened that I happened to meet up with this team that's really out there. You know, and they have that energy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't even sleep. Okay, well, our offices are in my house. I can't even sleep because they don't sleep.
They are in your space. So it's not like, hey, you guys come in at 9, leave at 5.
Yeah.
They live there now.
We're living there.
Ah, so
it's the thug mansion.
No, thug mansion.
We call it the thug mansion, yeah.
That is so sleazy. I just think of you, Hefna, and herpes. Okay, we'll move past that. Yeah.
So, and then, again, I realized that, you know, I've been trying to do this alone.
Okay.
You know, But now it makes more sense with these guys doing, individually doing what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can give them the facilities, you know, whatever they need to help them get where we need to get.
Okay.
Do you understand?
I'm still so fascinated at, I can see the natural passion that's coming from you guys.
Yeah.
But I want to see how that molds into the business side of things. Because I'm sure you, Shimane, were not like, yo, you guys can always just sleep at my house and we'll call it the Thug Mansion. You just like eat my food and that's it. When did it actually formalize? And when did we start making proper, you know, channels into formalizing everything into a business?
October last year.
Yeah.
This is after like months and months of just Thug Mansioning and out and just chinchilling wherever.
Yeah. It's, well, how the Thug Mansion thing came about was like, we'd work from Shimi's house because he's got the equipment. He's got like a nice Wi-Fi setup. So like everything is there for us.
Uh-huh.
And then like we go there on weekends and then like be at home during the week, or like go there during the week and be at home on weekends. But over some time, it's like, yo, like, why not just be there, you know? Just be there. Get beds. Get, like, start buying groceries. Buy food for the crib.
Clean the house.
And just make it home, because
we're
there for so long.
I don't know.
It might as well be
kudos
home.
On you, because I'm already just taking off. No.
But in a way, we were kind of, like, forced into it.
Yeah.
Because now, that's when we started the Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
The Chronicles, when it was...
The Chronicles of Hip Hop.
Of Hip Hop,
and
yes.
It's Chronicles with a K-R-O-N-I-K-L-E-S.
Yes.
So it's like Kardashian vibes, putting a K on a C.
You know.
Mm.
You never thought you'd be compared to the Kardashians, didn't you?
Yeah.
Exactly. No. Okay, so you then got onto the idea of Chronicles of Hip Hop.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And how it came about was that I went to go sleep. I was tired from work. And then... Stembiso and Tweezy, you know Tweezy, right?
Well, Tweezy, who's Dumelo Matebula. We need to also get onto these AKAs. Everybody has an AKA. I feel like just going by the name Sia Sangweni Finn isn't cool enough. But anyway, okay. Yes.
All right. So Tweezy actually produced a whole bunch of songs in the Levels AKA album.
Yeah.
And then he's been producing for a lot of cats in the industry right now. So him and Stembiso, they were like just fooling around 3 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
And you can imagine the noise, and I have to still go to work. And then when I woke up in the morning, the cartoon was there. It was already uploaded on YouTube.
Really?
So, and then all of a sudden, later that day, it got like 1,000 views. All right. We were like, okay.
Because so this is when you sort of knew we might be onto something. Here.
Yeah, because we were trying to work on something at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hadn't really started, you know.
Yeah.
But this one was picking up already. Now, and then it was called The Chronicles of K.O.
Yeah.
And then...
K.O., the hip-hop artist.
The rapper, yeah.
Yeah.
And then people liked it. And then we were forced to do another episode.
Mm-hmm.
Met up with them. Another one. Okay. All right. So we saw that.
And was gaining traction.
Yeah.
Episode by episode.
You know, so. And then the next thing, we get a gig for viewing the thingy at the awards. The South African Hip Hop Awards. It was like, okay.
Was that the same year Tweezy was actually nominated as a producer of the year? Talk about a glorious year then.
Man, it just escalated from there.
Yeah.
You know?
What does such success mean to you after, you know, the long nights, the sleeping at 3 a.m., the having random people all stuck together in one house, after your peaks and pits, what does having such happen to you now mean to you?
You know, we've all been trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been trying. But now, when something like this pops off, it motivates you even more. Even, although it gets rough.
Yeah.
But that's just the fuel to work even harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because today, we didn't even sleep. You know, Neo, our marketing guy,
yeah,
was supposed to be here. Is there preparing stuff for MTV?
Mm-hmm.
They want to show it there, you know. And a lot of channels now want to work with us, you know. And now we're just trying to absorb it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're at a space where we want to do a good job with our clients, because now we're getting clients now all of a sudden.
Wow.
We want to make every project a good project.
Yeah.
You know, so we're there now trying to get our, you know, balance.
So the reception is being good though, yeah, as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because often what creative people, you know, often, you know, confront is that their vision or the story that they want to tell and the idea that they have, sometimes corporate might say, no, that's too risque, or no, that's not anything we'd support. But now you're getting a whole lot of corporates actually siding with you and encouraging this.
Yeah.
That must be a good feeling.
It is actually. It's like, it's awesome. And I don't know if you've seen yet, but we're moving on to a bit of like live action.
Okay. What does live action mean specifically?
It means actual people, not animated.
Yeah.
So we've got a bit of live action content.
Like Wallace and Gromit. Is that action?
Live action would be like generations, basically. Like people, actual people acting.
Actual people acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not animation anymore.
Okay.
You have to take it slow. Let's try and explain this. Okay.
Okay, well, the thing is, with us all gathered up there in that space, there's a lot of like creative ideas that come.
Like, all right.
It's insane. Like with our recent episode, we had Izolo Today.
Izolo Today.
Yeah.
Izolo means yesterday.
Yeah.
Today means... okay.
Okay. So Izolo Today, which is like news, basically.
It's the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our version of the news of what's current and happening, mm-hmm. but within like the hip-hop scene, basically. And
with an element of animation there.
Yeah. With the all episode right. that's out now.
Mm. So now the premise of the episode, to my understanding, is you're bringing the news with like snippets of animation.
Yeah.
See, if I'm getting it, then I know you're getting it. So let's jump on together. Now let's try to understand what animation is, live action is.
Live action is actual actors behind the camera, like on the camera. That's what live action
like,
is.
Is that like actors in front of a green screen?
Yes.
Yeah. But it's, yeah.
Do I at least get 40%? I'm sort of understanding now.
Yeah, we'll negotiate it after the show.
It's just basic acting. It's just actors. Let's just say that.
Okay.
It's just people acting.
Yeah.
And like not animated stuff, but all just right. people acting. That's what live action is.
And then
we're moving more into that now, but we're still keeping the animation.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind that was to broaden the people's perspective about us, you know.
So yeah.
That we're not only about animation. We're not only about music. We are about visual effects,
video editing,
you know, what we could supply to the client. You know?
What's most important to you about telling authentic South African stories? You know, we see the Boondocks, we see the South Parks of the world, and you know, it's great, but they talk about things that are happening in their countries.
Yeah.
They talk about Bush when he was at his prime and making mistakes, because that is what is happening in their country. And not to say that we shouldn't be interested in that. But I think to us as well, when you have a rapper in South Africa like KO, who gets more than 1 million views on YouTube, now, okay, let's see how he's parodied and let's see what he does when he's supposedly at Sun City and he doesn't feel like going jumping into the water.
Yeah.
How important is it for you to tell South African stories?
It is, because our market is South Africa.
Yeah.
So they must relate to our content. You know, they must relate. That's why, that's how you can grow.
Yeah.
You know, you can't talk about Obama when you're in South Africa.
Yeah.
Type of thing, because it's being done.
And the good thing, though, is that we are supporting our own.
And are
you guys happy and proud of that?
Social media, like, you know, I had this thing about social media that, you know, I was used to the old type of thing where it has to be on TV.
Yeah.
But it surprised me, you know, like, wow, it actually works. This YouTube thing works.
This YouTube thing works.
Yeah, you know, because I've been growing with them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the oldest there. I'm like 29. The oldest is 24.
The youngest is 24.
The oldest.
Yeah, the youngest is probably like 23, 22.
Yeah. Talk about untapped talent. Talk about budding youngsters. Okay, that's nice and good.
Yeah. So you can imagine my mindset. So like I've been that guy that wants to do things the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
So they came with that new perspective.
Yeah. You know? It's almost like opening a whole new world, really.
It is like a whole new world.
And no, the truth of the matter is I can already see, though, you guys are well on your way to going on then conquering. And so I'm absolutely proud and kudos on you guys. All the best for the future, hey.
Yeah.
So listen, talking about social media, your YouTube channel is very, very active. What's the name and where can people catch you guys?
Just search Partoons.
That's PHAATOONZ.
Yeah, yes. TOO.
TOONZ.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, TOONZ. And you should find it. I think it's the only one. Like,
and Facebook Partoons, and then Twitter @Partoons.
@Partoons.
So listen, I also have to bring this up. Final thing.
Yeah.
There's Sthembiso Mbepe, aka Bringo.
Mpehle.
Yeah. Aka Bringo. There's Tapewo
Molahlegi.
Aka Tiaps.
Tiaps.
Then there's Tumelo Matebula, aka Tweezy.
Yeah.
Why does everyone have an AKA? Like, is it necessary to work?
The thing with AKAs is,
they're all crazy.
Yeah. And then, but like the thing is, we also musical. So those are like our musical AKAs.
Okay.
Yeah. Like. Everyone there pretty much raps.
So you guys have to give me your cool stamp now. Siya Sangweni Finn, aka...
Your AKA.
Yeah.
An AKA for you.
Yeah. Like, what if I were to become a rapper now and be like, yo, what should I call myself?
Sizizo.
No.
On that note, Sizizo is signing out. This is Untapped Talent. Siya Ndasubis and Shimane Apple Green. Thank you guys so much for stopping by this morning.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's only a pleasure. The best. I can only just wait in anticipation as to what you guys are going to go out there and achieve. So
we've got more stuff coming. We've got check the YouTube. There's a lot of content there. There's music. There's live action. There's animation. We've got partoons, music. We've got partoons, cartoons. There's a lot of stuff happening.
All the best.
Thanks for having us.
Straight after this, I'll be talking to Fred and Chris from the band The City Wild. But before that, let's actually debut one of their songs. It goes by the name of Flat Plains. This is Untapped Talent.
Unradio. CliffCentral.com.
That was music from The City Wide. It's titled Flat Plains. There we go. I do not know what just happened there, but it is something. Okay. And they are now joining me in studio. So from the band, it's Fred de Milan.
Yes.
Did I finally pronounce it correctly? It's French.
Close enough. French.
De Milan.
Yeah. Do you know what? Everyone. I think I get it wrong. So don't feel bad.
Listen, it's just confidence. Confidence is key. Just call yourself French and you're already cool to many people.
Sure.
And then Chris DeVette as well. Thank you guys so much for coming in this morning.
Sweet, awesome. Thanks.
All right, Fred, you're vocal and guitars. And then Chris, you're bass for the band. But then there's also Zan Fish, who are also in the band, but who aren't here this morning. So kudos on them as well. You guys are like... infancy. Your band is in its infancy.
Yeah.
You guys just formed in Jan 2014. It's been like a year and a few months now. How's it been going?
It's been good. It's actually been great. If I speak to a lot of bands who's kind of started about the same time, we've had some really awesome shows and good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
The song that's just played,
Flat Plains,
is starting to do really well, and having an awesome time. I must say, as a now four piece, The sound's also really starting to come alive, and we're kind of finding our feet. So it's we're definitely not kidding ourselves and haven't retired from you know, some real jobs. just
don't
yet.
Put it like that, okay? Being a rocker is a real job.
Yeah, but we're getting there. Loving it.
Definitely.
But listen, this is one of my interesting things with musicians. I just feel like, yes, we use the terms alternative rock to try to encapsulate you.
Yeah.
But do you feel like you adequately, you know, encapsulate alternative rock? Because I feel like that's sometimes limiting when you're in the studio and you just have, you know, a melody in your head, or you want to express yourself some way. It's not about the genre anymore. It's just about the expression in the music.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when a lot of my friends, they're like, what genre are you playing?
Yeah.
Then they're all like, are you rock? What? And like, dude, you just have to listen and tell us what you think about it, because it's definitely, I don't think you can label it. It's just our sound, what we make of it. But if you have to label it, it's close to alternative rockish.
All right, but then if we had to, okay, so we're trying to label it as alternative rockish.
Yes.
Let's try and get deeper into that. What are your influences as the Citywide?
Definitely one of our favorite bands is Foo Fighters, definitely.
Foo Fighters.
Yeah. I must say, I think all of us lean towards a bit of a rock kind of favorite. But Coldplay, Killers.
Yeah.
There's actually all sorts of bands. It's a difficult thing for me to, rather shall I say, it's one of my least favorite things to do the whole genre labeling thing.
Uh-huh.
Because then you instantly feel you kind of have to stick to a certain mold.
Yeah.
Which, being an artist, is the last thing that you really want to do. You're trying to be creative or whatever. But we had to come up with something close enough, and we felt, because it's not straight only rock and roll, there's a bit of an alternative edge. And one or two people have said one or two songs is adult contemporary, but we feel that's more like a dance move.
Yeah. Adult contemporary.
Please,
I feel like it's something you'll see it like Strictly Come Dancing or something.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to go down that road.
But, you know, I was actually having an insightful conversation with someone last week, and I think it's very interesting and relevant to bring up with a band like yours who's just, you know, just over a year old. And this person was actually saying to me, every single musician or artist at the end of the day has to be mainstream.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, it is a business. Mm. And as much as you want to express yourself, you have to sell. And you have to look out at an audience. And, you know, you have to be relevant in social media or popular culture. And that's how you get your word out there. And I was getting some parts of what they were saying, but I do feel like every single artist is unique, and you have to respect, and they have to embrace who they really are.
Yep.
Where do you guys side with that?
Well, definitely, if you, whatever industry you're in, if you want to start something, you can't write awesome songs and then no one knows about it.
Yeah.
Because then that doesn't help anything. You have to have that business type of brain as well, in a sense, to how you're going to promote your band, how you're going to promote your songs, how you're going to promote your gigs you're playing at, because in the end, you can be a band for like 5 years and still no one really knows about you. You can be out there in a few months if you do it right, if you connect with the right people, if you promote yourself in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Fred, what about you?
It's an interesting one, because I think for me, it's, you have to stay true to yourself and as an artist. And at the same time, I think in South Africa, especially when you sort of at the place where we are now, we're booking our own shows and you're kind of doing your own social media. You're doing a lot of the stuff yourself.
Yeah.
So you're very involved with the business side as well. Although we now, you know, getting to the place where we can hopefully see that start changing.
Yeah.
But for me, sometimes it's difficult to not get caught up in thinking more business than artist, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Because I agree with you in the sense that if you go all arty about it and you write music that's just sort of for yourself, and it's not really something that you're focusing on only to get out there as a business side as well, then you can, I mean, let's just be real about it. I don't know, the success factor might not be too fantastic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've kind of got this thing that, you know, great songs will always be great songs.
Okay.
So we try and, as a band, work very hard in writing and in our live shows, because nothing will beat a good song and a good live performance.
Yeah. So doesn't it kill you? You know, currently this is my relevant gripe. Doesn't it kill you when you're listening to a song and you hear that the lyrics are simply, I really, really, really like you and I want to, do you want me, do you want me to? And that is like a chart buster that's climbing up everywhere, and that is hugely successful. As a musician, do you sit down and you go, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
To put it simply, yeah.
Because I'm kind of doing it on your behalf. How much work and how much time actually goes into, for example, flat planes?
We've been a band for, like you said, a year and a half about now. But actually, before we actually started gigging, it was just me and Fred for almost 8 months.
Yeah.
Where we didn't go out, we didn't gig or anything. We didn't even went out there on social media. We just sat there, helped each other, write the songs and everything. We made sure that we are ready before we go. You don't want to just go out there and play something. So
yeah.
We actually do put a lot of effort into writing the songs, make sure the lyrics are correct. Even if you just change one word in the chorus, we are kind of perfectionist about what we write and how we yeah. write it and everything else.
You see, now that says a lot about you guys and how seriously you take the industry. But more than that, I'm just now thinking how big your catalog is. Because 8 months of just sitting and you want to focus on the quality of work that you're producing. How many sure. songs are we on now? Like,
well, 15. We've got 15 songs ready.
Yeah.
Ready to go. But yeah, at the moment, depending on where we play and so on, that always varies. I think it's crazy. Funnily enough, Flat Planes is something that I think the initial writing of Flat Planes, we've obviously adapted it a lot as a band and
yeah,
so on.
Yeah, definitely.
But the initial writing was something like half an hour.
Wow.
Just over 20 minutes, something like that.
And
I find with a lot of the songs that actually seem to, you know, get good response, isn't the one that you always going back to all the time, you know, chipping away. It's kind of, it's almost just seems to appear.
It effortlessly just works.
It just happens.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's pretty awesome to have the guys around in the band that I do, or that we are, however you want to word that, to put something together that we can come up with songs that we ourselves are proud about.
Yeah. So we were mentioning just a few moments before about how, you know, you two, Fred and Chris, you spent 8 months really working on things, etc., when it was just the two of you. But how did we actually go from Fred, Chris, Zan, and Fish, just four random guys in their own different parts, to now forming the Citywide? What is that progress and process like? Where did you guys meet? How did you form?
Well, me and Fred actually met through a friend. It was beginning of 2013, I think, or middle 2013, we went with a friend to Porterville in Western Cape.
Uh-huh.
And there, me and him met. And a few months after that, he's like, hey, Chris, I want to start this band.
Starting a band.
So yeah. That's how it starts. Was it over like good dope and there was a sunset going? You're like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it.
There was a sunset, but I think it was KFC.
Yeah, it was a...
Oh, okay.
We had a box meal.
And what was that like, though? That finally just taking that liberating decision to go, screw it, I'm doing it.
For me, it's actually something that I kind of tried before. And yeah, early 2000s, around there, was in a band, and I think, you know, everything seems to be timing. Mm-hmm. In the industry, I don't know how it works, to be honest. I just sing and play guitar. I'm not going to try and make as if I know how this all works. Mm-hmm. I love music, and I've been fortunate to find now four good mates who love music as well. And yeah, we thankfully love the sound that we kind of bringing. Really great drummers, Anne and Fish.
Yeah.
And yeah, what everyone brings to the table is pretty awesome. And I think that's kind of same as what I was saying about Flat Plains. It almost just happened. It's the weirdest thing. Zan and Chris knew each other before.
Yeah.
Chris actually invited Zan, and it just worked. And then Zan knew Fish.
Yeah.
So it's like who you know, sort of. But the second the four of us were in a room in rehearsal on a few weeks back, Monday night, and it just happened.
It's just when the timing is perfect and things just work out.
And actually, another funny thing is Fish was actually the guy that gave me bass lessons when I was like in grade 9.
Really?
Yeah, I bought my first bass and amp from him for like $900 or something.
Yeah.
And when he joined the band, I'm like, hey, Fish.
Do you remember me?
You taught me to play bass and now you're playing guitar with me.
Yeah.
That was pretty...
But, you know, Fred was in a band in the early 2000s. What about you, Chris? What's your background like?
Me and Zan were in a band with another friend, Found Generation. So that's just how me and Zan met. He was the drummer, I was the bassist.
Yeah.
Didn't know each other before that, but we got to know each other in the band. And there's the thing, the bassist and the drummer always, they're like glue. They just
click. They stick together.
Yeah, so when we needed a drummer, I was immediately like, hey, Zan, so you wanna join? And he was like, yeah, sure. And it just worked. But that's kind of my background, just playing with that band. And before that, it was just school, always playing, you know.
Always been the music guy.
You and your friends always want to start a band, but it never really happens. So you just have your garage band practices and stuff, yeah.
And so let's actually talk about the dreams, you know, and the perceptions you had of the industry versus the reality.
Wow. It's a vast space between those two. I must say, for me, I am a bit of a dreamer. So I'm kind of at the place where I'm constantly 10 years ahead, 5 years ahead, already touring with Foo Fighters or someone like that in my mind.
Yeah.
And then realizing, okay, back to writing a song, back to rehearsal, back to playing wherever we can. I think the one thing we've realized is hard work with this industry. Well, anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of stupid to think that you don't have to work hard if you're in a different industry. But as a musician, yeah, you need to be willing to put in the time and the work and also not be fussy where you play when you're starting.
Yikes. So it's not as time for riders yet. Like we want a dressing room with four light bulbs and
a gig that doesn't pay, you say sure, you don't do it for the money, you do it because you love the music.
So is that how you guys are really pushing your name out there, by going out there, live performances, are those key?
Yeah,
definitely. And having obviously things to sell, merch and things like that, obviously always helps.
Mm.
And that's only starting to slowly happen now. Very slowly, but it's happening. I think if you're not willing to do the live performance thing, you know, how else are you going to kind of have that personal interaction with you, kind of wanting people to become, let's say, you know, fans of the band.
Uh-huh.
And yet if you're not willing to put the time in yourself as a band, how can you expect people to get into it? So we kind of enjoy playing live as well. Well, not kind of.
No, that's...
We do.
that's our thing.
And, you know, moments like these where we get to do a miniature road trip and come chat to you you know, it's all part of it. There's nothing that you want to take away from it. Hopefully the hard work factor doesn't leave anytime soon.
But I can only imagine how your very first gig together as a citywide was.
Yes.
How was that?
That was awesome, actually, but stressful. Yeah. Where was that?
Because I'm sure it's different. Yeah. You know, you've had your musical history before, but it's just something different about the dynamics of the band. And, you know, now you're out in public. You're not just sitting in a studio working on something. Sure. You're now out there literally bearing yourself.
Yeah, showcasing what you've gone on about to your friends.
Yeah.
All these
months. Oh, did you guys really build it up? Like, you got to come down. You got to come watch us.
Yeah.
And did we go without a hitch?
It actually did. Maybe some of the friends who we've now unfriended because they didn't pitch. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. That's the other thing. You know, people are, they don't just come every time.
Yeah.
You've got to give them something to go and watch. And I can't remember exactly how it goes, but a lot of guys want to be a great band, but they just don't want to put the time in. And like I said before, I mean, what beats an incredible live show? There's
exactly. There's something about the atmosphere.
Absolutely. So
just the energy around there.
We try and work very, very hard on that. And actually tonight is as a four-piece now with mm-hmm. Fish. Is the first show as a four-piece. So
wow.
That's going to be pretty awesome.
So, okay, let's look back now. Best live performance ever for you guys was where?
Arcade, for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was when we played at Arcade. That was our first big kind of Friday night Arcade Empire. That was pretty insane. Afterwards, we were like, what just happened?
We're yeah. just on a high.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I think
yeah.
it lasted about 3 weeks.
Fred, do you echo that as well?
Absolutely. That was really a incredible night, and it was awesome to see how many people that we had to refriend then because this time,
because now they were nice and
now
supporting
they're actually
you guys.
Like, okay, it's Arcade, we'll come. So it was it was awesome.
Listen, though, where can people get hold of you guys? Where can we find out where you'll be gigging? Well, how can we follow
Fred's
you?
Fred's cell phone number is...
Let's put let's put his street address as
just
well.
Just dial 7. Facebook.com/thecitywide. That's always... we put all our shows on there.
Yeah.
That's probably, at this stage anyway, the best way to see what we're up to.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter, the Citywide Band, and then sometimes... some
Instagram.
Even though I've got a face for radio, no, not really. But Instagram, the Citywide _.
Yeah, the Citywide with that _ thing, because the Citywide is already taken.
Damn, whoever did that first.
I think it's a plumbing company.
Oh, you know what? We'll just move past it swiftly because you guys are still on here and you guys are rocking it. All the best for the future, hey?
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
A lot.
And I think I will have to personally follow you just to find out what Fish's real name is.
Yeah, we'll accept
with a name like Fish
friendship.
Archer, I think I'll have to do some investigating myself.
Yeah. We're still not sure. So. Yeah.
I'm just saying you need to do stronger background checks. Who knows? He could be like wanted in Argentina.
He's got a weird beard, but that's
See?
All I can say.
That's how it starts. It's a new identity. Now I'm joking. I'm not trying to like break a band up. Okay. I'm just all nice here. Fred, Chris, thank you guys so much for stopping by
this
morning.
Thank you.
All the best for the Citywide, eh?
Awesome.
So what in... That's a show, done and dusted, all like done already. And that's an hour gone past right here on cliffcentral.com. Thank you guys so much to my guests for stopping by this morning. More especially, thank you for listening. It's always awesome. I'll see you later on. #CliffCentralTurns1. That's what it's all about. At Movida tonight for our birthday party. But until then, how about next week? Friday from 9 a.m. My name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. Cliffcentral.com.